Yo, what is going on, everybody? I hope you are doing well. I apologize for last night, folks. It has been a little hectic around here. We finally said we've been trying to get a house. We closed on Tuesday. So we are moving. Unfortunately, the move is 2 hours away. Like, I watched AEW on Wednesday. I knew it was Thursday coming up, and I just completely blanked. If y'all hear anything, the family's back there packing. So, Smark, in case you guys are wondering, I am Boxman. This is Wrestling Outlet. Thank you for joining. Smark is having some pretty bad storms out his way and said he's got internet and power, but the internet isn't great. I know that feeling. I will have better internet very soon. We are getting moved out there as quick as possible. We've already brought a couple. We brought our first truckload last night. We're bringing another one tomorrow morning, possibly two tomorrow. But, it is a very small town. I am 5 minutes from a truck stop. I had not seen this house until we bought it. I trusted my wife, and she did very good. We have 2 acres of land. We've got a big house, 3-bed, 2-bath. I'm sorry, 4-bedroom, 2-bath. The kids all have their own bedroom, which is like heaven for me. And I've got a little office that all it needs is some doors, and I won't be kicking anyone out of the room anymore in order to do this show. I literally just kicked out my poor wife who had surgery a few weeks ago, but she got her stitches taken out today. She's doing a little better. She's in the boot, so, you know, everything's kind of starting to work out, but we are packing, we are moving, so I might need to take a little time just to get all this stuff up there, but once I'm up there, it's not going to be like it was. Should only take me one shot. Once I'm up there, may miss a week at the most, but otherwise, that's about it, folks. So you got me tonight, which means, yep, probably going to be a pretty quick show, which is great. I will get back to packing. Not a problem. But, yeah, a few things have happened in the wrestling world this week. Not too much. We still have the same people kind of doing the same things. It's kind of how it goes. Let me crack a beer, folks. Let me get one here. Only got a few, so. All right. Tony Khan. Still, I'm just going to get right into the Tony Khan thing, folks. No reason not to. Let's just get right into it. I don't know what this guy is doing. I don't know what he's thinking. I don't know if him and Jericho are drinking White Claw and tweeting late at night. I'm not sure what's happening. But Tony Khan has gone fucking crazy. I love this article. We're going to go through this article. This article is straight from Cultaholic, folks. Here, let's go ahead and pull this up so you guys can all follow along as we usually do here. This is right out of Cultaholic. And Tony Khan rages at WWE. It says, Tony Khan was using his phone again on Tuesday night. Darn it, using your phone again. Hey there, Tony. And the AEW CEO decided to take time out of his busy schedule to rage at WWE creative, in particular, the booking of Jinder Mahal in a world heavyweight title match against Seth Rollins on next week's edition of Monday Night Raw, and the criticism he has received for booking Hook in an AEW world title program with Samoa Joe, which obviously we would have talked about during AEW Dynamite anyway, so this is kind of how it started. I'm not sure I have this tweet, though. Hold on a second. Let me go. I've got the meltdown here. Give me one sec. Let me pull up the first picture here. because I believe, let me see what the first picture is. It's not, okay. So it started out a double standard. This is where it all started. A double standard at 7:30, Hook, 28-1 career record on winning streak, calls out the champ in a local challenge. A logical challenge sparks online outrage. Jinder has literally lost every single match he's in for the past year, immediately gets title shot. Where is the rage at AEW Dynamite tomorrow on TBS? So this is where it all started, folks, as you can see. That's weird. We have the, I guess because we looked this up once, we're getting the Power Heart, the thing that Bray Wyatt was supposed to have on. Weird ad to pull up here. But it says here, Jinder has won two matches since the start of 2022, but it didn't mean anything to Tony Khan. Tony Khan really kept going, and I'll go ahead and show you these tweets right here. Let's go ahead and get into these tweets right here. It started off right here. Wrong one, folks. Right here. A moral victory for USA is one win more than their world title challenger. Jinder Mahal has in the past 364 days, because it's been literally a full year since he won a match. You really put AEW in our place, getting Jinder Mahal in a big match on your TV show. Do it more often. USA Network came right back with, what's the cage match rating? Which Tony Khan has started using cage match as his source for all the good stuff going down. Matches and all that fun stuff. That's where Tony's getting his news now. And it just kind of kept going from there. Okay? So let's keep going through these pictures, folks, because these pictures are of these tweets are really what puts this over. So let's go ahead for the next one here, which was the double standard one. Sorry, that one was already said. So we talked about that. So let's keep going. Jinder jumped in and said, who TF is Hook? Who the fuck is Hook? Watch Monday Night Raw on USA Network Monday, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Everyone is fucking with Tony. Now, I know Taz did reply to that with Hook, all in all caps. That was pretty much it. So we go to the next one here. There's Taz's response right there. Hook. That's it. That's all Taz put, like anyone's supposed to know. Bischoff, though, jumped in. A fan said Tony forgets that he literally gave Abaddon a title shot after being off AEW TV for over a year. The same exact situation as Jinder. Bischoff comes in and says, hey, Tony Khan, is this true or is this a bot? We know Tony loves the bots, folks. We do. We do. So here we go. Tony Khan replied, no, Eric Bischoff, not true at all. Abaddon returned to AEW, then won a four-way match on TNT against other great wrestlers to earn a title shot, which is completely different than someone going a full year losing every match they're in, plus getting a title shot without a single win. Well, Bischoff didn't care much for that answer. Or Tony Khan didn't care much for Bischoff at all and put this little picture of, I believe this lady was on Dallas. It says, get out of my sight, you miserable has-been. And Eric Bischoff replied with, groundbreaking, miserable has-been, posting a picture of himself coming out with the title underneath on the graphic, groundbreaking pro wrestling executive. So, I don't know why, let's just get rid of that. I don't know why Tony Khan feels the need to respond to these little things that bother him. Listen, little things bother everybody. I get it. Some people just, most people don't react. I'm sorry, not most people. Let me rephrase that. Most CEOs of companies do not react as childish as I believe Tony Khan is reacting in this situation here. So, and it is... It really, you know what, Tony Khan, actually, I think his situation with Abaddon is worse because he brought her back right at Halloween, which everyone expected. It was kind of like, you kind of brought her back in for Halloween. She's had a couple matches since, but nothing big. Nothing big. So it's the same thing. It's really, there's not much of a difference here between what he did and what WWE did. In most cases, in most circumstances, there's not much different. It's a wrestling company. They mostly run the same way. You go, you book matches, you put them on. You push people here, you push people there. You don't push someone here, you put... It's the same fucking formula. It's the same fucking shit. But I don't see why this man feels the need to react like a child, like a little baby, when it comes to these things. Like I said, I don't know if he was sitting around with Jericho, if they were drinking some White Claw. Maybe they were mixing some White Claw and Woo Energy together. You know, the power of the mushrooms just made him start putting finger to phone screen. I don't know. I really don't. But this man is making a complete fool of himself, folks.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we all know this. According to Brian Alvarez and Dave Meltzer, the talent knows this. The talents are embarrassed by these tweets by Tony Khan, according to Brian Alvarez of Wrestling Observer Online. There it is. I get it. Let me tell you, honestly, if that was the CEO of my company going back and forth like that, I would be embarrassed too. Look at this. I would be completely embarrassed by my CEO. I mean, what is the fucking point of this? What is the fucking point of this? This picture also from Cultaholic, folks. We're sticking with Cultaholic. Not for everything, but just for this one. Thank you, Cultaholic. Appreciate that. But yeah, I would be embarrassed too. This is embarrassing for... I mean, listen, you can sit here and say, oh, Vince would never do something like this. No, we all know Vince wouldn't do something like this. But Vince is also much more old school than Tony is. Tony is a kind of a product of social media, if you will. I mean, this whole thing kind of came off of a social media bet with AEW, with, you know, the first All In pay-per-view. Or All Out. I forgot what it was. All In. So... I mean, it was all social media, so I guess Tony Khan just thinks social media is a great place for him to go and vent his frustrations, but it seems like every time he does, he makes a complete fool of himself. Now, listen, sometimes people go on and make a fool of themselves on purpose. I get that. It's not what Tony's doing. He really thinks he has 100% legit... These are absolute 100% legit opinions here. Look, it's your opinion. That's fine. Put this, my opinion is, and go along with it. Don't sit there and like fucking lecture people, which is what you seem like you're doing here. Does seem like you are lecturing people on, you know, oh, you come at AEW. Why don't you go after WWE? Oh, that really helps this fucking tribalism thing we have going on that we're really trying to stop. Well, I don't think anyone's really trying to stop it, but no one really cares for it, this whole tribalism thing. And Tony Khan, something like this does nothing but feed it. It feeds it. Oh, AEW fans, look at this. Look at this. Why don't you go after WWE for this, since, you know, they all their fans came after me for this. This isn't tit for tat. It shouldn't be, at least. This is fucking real life. Isn't fucking, I mean, social media, I guess if you want to call it real life, that's fine, but he needs to stop doing this. I definitely believe he is embarrassing his talent on that show. And I'm going to tell you what, some people that might have stuck with the company or maybe thought about signing with the company, sees bullshit like this going down, you don't think that might just maybe tilt them towards somewhere else? Fuck, this would tilt me towards goddamn TNA at this point. I don't want to deal with this fucking little bitch. Who would want to deal with this guy going out there and embarrassing himself, the company, and the talent? It's bad for, it's a bad look. It is a bad look, especially after what is going down with, what just went down with Punk a little while ago, and especially with what's going down with fucking Jericho right now. We don't know what happened with Jericho, but something's going down, obviously. So, I don't know, man. I really feel that this guy needs to stop. I mean, take his fucking phone. This guy is like the fucking, turning into fucking the Donald Trump of the fucking wrestling promoter world. Take his fucking phone away. Man should not be tweeting. Should not be tweeting. Let him tweet with a fucking, some kind of filter or something. Have it go through somebody before it goes through Tony. Good Lord. I don't know, man. I just really feel that I can feel where his talent is coming from as far as being embarrassed. Like I said, it's just not a very good look on this company for their CEO, their head honcho, their guy who can hire and fire people at will, to go out there and complain about another talent on another company's show, and go out there and complain that he's getting a match and no one's complaining, yet everyone's complaining about Hook getting a match. Good Lord, Tony, grow a fucking spine. Leave it alone. Keep scrolling. Go hire someone. Go fucking hire somebody. Kevin Dunn's looking for a job. I don't think he is. I'm kidding, folks. I'm kidding. That was a joke. That was a joke. But yeah, I just feel that he definitely needs to stop all this bullshit that he's doing. Ridiculous at this point. I feel bad for the talent that have to deal with this bullshit. So whatever. It's going to be, you know, It's probably not going to hurt them at all in the long run, but I just think it's a little ridiculous what's going on. But anyway, I guess speaking of more ridiculousness, folks, let's just stick with more craziness in this world. Because we can. So let's do it. So we got Ric Flair, folks. We all know he kind of is doing a few things now for AEW. One of the things he's doing is kind of just hanging out. Sorry about that ad right there, folks. Let me try to get rid of that for you. One of the things he's doing is kind of just hanging out while the Sting retirement goes down, which is coming up quick, very quick, actually. We found out who, more than likely, his opponents for Revolution are. We will talk about that in just a little while. But he is pushing to do more physical spots in AEW, folks. I didn't think I would say this today. You know, took my wife to the doctor, did a few things, went by the office. She went in the store. I'm waiting at the store. I'm scrolling through, and WrestleZone has this article up. And I'm like, are you fucking kidding? Tell me there's a catch to this. Well, there's not. WWE Hall of Famer Ric Flair, 74, made his AEW debut in October, he was revealed as Tony Khan's gift to Sting, because you could just give people as gifts now. Hey, Soraya got Ruby Soho a blonde. I'd like a blonde. I mean, I have a blonde. Wouldn't mind another blonde. Two blondes would be fine. Actually, wouldn't mind Ruby. But anyway, let's just move on there before my wife comes in and starts yelling at me. Following the announcement that Sting's last match would be at AEW Revolution, Flair then signed with AEW in November. He's appeared alongside Sting a few times since then. Yeah, I'm paraphrasing a little bit. Now, he's gotten physical a few times, folks. Most recently, just Wednesday, we saw him get physical, and the chop he gave Powerhouse Hobbs. Folks, That was not a very good looking chop. I'm probably going to get hit with this, but I could play it. Let's see. Hold on. I'm going to take the sound off, and we're going to play the clip. Here we go, folks. Boom. Come on. The second one was a little better, but the thumb to the eye, I got to admit, folks, I popped for the thumb to the eye. I popped for the thumb to the eye. I'm not bullshitting. I popped for the thumb to the eye. I thought it was fucking hilarious, the thumb to the eye. But the chop didn't look so good. And honestly, folks, he gets out of the ring. He looks like he's about to fall. I don't want to see Flair like this. I don't want to see him in the ring at this age. I don't. He falls the wrong way one fucking time. His pacemaker decides to take a little dump. I don't want to see Ric Flair die in the ring. Do you want to see Ric Flair die in the ring? I don't think y'all want to see Ric Flair die in the ring. I really do. That is not what I want to see. I honestly wish Ric Flair just kind of faded away, you know, and just sort of left the memories alone, but he's not going to do that. Ric Flair did do a previous interview with WrestleZone where he expressed his hope that AEW would turn him loose. He stated that he was clear to be able to feed for someone if needed. I think we all know what that means. Take a hit, stand there, take a bump maybe. He says, I don't expect to wrestle. Could I? Yes. What fucking quack is going to clear this guy? Could I? Yes, because I'll learn from my mistakes, Ric Flair said. You always learn from past mistakes. Do you? Do you? Okay. But I don't think that'll ever happen, but I certainly want to be able to feed a guy if I've helped get heat on them, because it's only fair to the babyface or the good guy, rather that he gets a shot at the guy. That's how they prevail. They beat the villain, and then they have to smack someone around that's been associated with them, he said. I am cleared for that, and even if I wasn't, I'm feeding. That's the way it works. So basically, even if he wasn't, he was going to do it anyway, folks, is what he's saying. Quick sippy for me. Hope you don't mind. Not good, folks. They're going down like water. Goddamn, they're good. Anyway, so that's it. Ric Flair basically says, even if he was told not to do it, he was going to do it anyway. I really didn't think he looked good out there last night, or I'm sorry, two nights ago. And I don't think he's looked good out there for a while, folks. And I think you guys can agree with that. I just don't want to see this Ric Flair. I don't want to see him getting physical in the ring. Look, he's out there promoting his drink. That's fine. I don't care. But I don't need to see him in the ring. I really don't need to see him out there during matches. Honestly, have him come out there and do commentary. Stay up there. And that's really all I need to see Ric Flair doing. I don't need to see him down in the ring unless he's just going to thumb everyone in the eye. If he's going to thumb everyone in the eye, okay, I changed my mind. If he's going to just thumb everyone in the eye, let's go for it. I'm down, okay? I'll go for the thumb to the eye. No more chops. No more looking like that, but thumbs to the eye are good, because I swear to God, my wife came out and asked me what the hell was wrong with me. I was laughing so hard. I don't know why. I always found that spot to be just fucking hilarious. The thumb to the eye from Ric Flair. And the way he does it, too. But anyway, keep on rolling here with a few more things, folks. Let's just see what happens with Flair. Hopefully, not much more stuff getting physical. But, guys, this really is going to be less than an hour show tonight. I don't have a lot. I didn't know if Smark was showing up or not, but I have a lot to do. But I kind of needed a break. So I really wanted to come do this tonight, chat a little bit, talk a little bit, get a little bit off my chest. But I'm glad I got to do this tonight. So let's keep rolling with some news. So Mickie James, folks, old Milfie James herself, Mickey James. There she is. She has a new gig in pro wrestling with a fancy job title. This is right here out of cagesideseats.com. So, turns out, here we go. I'm going to move this article a little lower for us. Now, she has a new job, and she just got in 2024, which we're only 12 days into, folks. She's going to be joining Ohio Valley Wrestling as its creative director, head of female talent, and executive producer. So she's taking on a few roles right at once there. Good for her. There is a press release right here from OVW themselves. I'll read it. If you guys, no one minds. Wrestling legend Mickey James teams up with Ohio Valley Wrestling in a trailblazing role. Mickey James, known for her remarkable career and influence in women's wrestling, has teamed up with Ohio Valley Wrestling to serve as creative director and head of female talent, as well as executive producer for all OVW wrestling shows. Mickey James is a name synonymous with excellence in the wrestling industry, and we are incredibly excited to be working with her, said lead OVW commentator and producer Brian Kennison. Her experience, talent, and vision will be invaluable in elevating our program and our women's division to new heights. The next kind of part of the outline says, a new era for OVW women's wrestling. And it says, Mickey James brings over two decades of wrestling experience and a passion for empowering female athletes. She broke new ground in 2021. As the executive producer and of the critically acclaimed Empower pay-per-view event. And she is also executive producer and co-promoter of StarCast Down Under, taking place in Australia in April 2024. Next part of it says, revolutionizing, I have a problem with that word, revolutionizing wrestling entertainment. In addition to her leadership roles, Mickey James will be at the forefront of an exclusive TV series focused on female empowerment in professional wrestling, a project that underscores OVW's commitment to innovative and diverse storytelling. We are not just working with a superstar, we are embracing a vision for the future, added OVW CEO Al Snow. Mickey's influence will transcend the ring, inspiring a new generation of wrestlers and fans alike. Last little part of this is as full circle moment. When Mickey was signed to her first WWE developmental contract, she was part of the OVW roster in a... Oh, hold on. Excuse me, folks. I didn't have all that. In a legendary class, let me make this so everybody can follow along with me here. All right. She was part of the OVW roster in a legendary class that produced megastars like Randy Orton, John Cena, and Dave Bautista, among many others. Mickey went on to become a 5-time women's WWE champion, as well as WWE Divas champion. To be working with OVW again in this role is a full circle moment for me. I owe a lot of my success to OVW and the foundation it gave me to become an 11-time women's world champion. Now I get to pay it back and pay it forward in a way. I'm excited for a new year, a new vision, and a bright new future with OVW in 2024. That was straight out of OVWWrestling.com. So there you go. Mickey James in a whole new role with this company. You got it? You got it? Okay. That worked well. All right, folks. She was trying to be quiet, she said. So that's really good, though. That is really awesome for Mickey James. It seems like she doesn't want to be in the wrestling business, not the wrestling business. She seems like she doesn't want to be in the ring anymore, which does make sense. She's getting up there. She doesn't have to be in the ring anymore. But she did go ahead to say, thank you, OVW Wrestling, for everything you've done for me. Now I hope to return the love in some way. I am honored and excited for all 2024 has in store. Hey, she rhymed there. 2024 has in store. Now, we all know OVW actually used to be the WWE developmental territory back in the day, 2000 to 2008, where Mickie James spent a lot of time there, obviously, from 2003 to 2005. Then she was brought up to the main roster with the famous storyline where she loved Trish Stratus. So there you go. But definitely great for Mickie James to be doing something like this. I think she's going to really be good at this. Like, she's already has some experience in it, but doing it for NWA. So this, she should just take like a fish to water to this. This should be absolutely easy for her to do. And, you know, I really, what else can you say? But good luck to Mickie James. And I think she's going to do a damn good job over there in OVW. I keep forgetting that Al Snow is over there, but I think they do have that show on Netflix or something like that. But anyway, let's go ahead and keep going here. Speaking of NWA, folks, one of the talents for NWA has run into a little bit of a problem. Nothing he did wrong. Nothing he did wrong at all. AEW star Black G's, folks. There he is right there. This is actually a gentleman me and Shaheen talked to a long time ago. Shaheen actually ended up getting the interview. Very nice guy, I do remember. He was a very nice guy. But it looks like, according to NWA, who issued a press release stating Black G's Darnell Cottrell is recovering from a shooting. He was actually set to return Saturday night. He was allegedly approached by four masked men in an attempted carjacking. And in the process, he was shot in the hip. He did fire back. He does, it says right here. Cottrell, who possesses a permit to carry a gun, used his legally registered firearm to defend himself and return fire. Suspects fled the scene. Investigators are currently reviewing surveillance footage for leads. Cottrell was taken to a local hospital and is recovering. So, seems like he is doing okay. Now, he has not wrestled since last February. He was diagnosed with multiple melanoma, which is a form of cancer that begins in the bone marrow. But he was quoted in this release and said, "I was looking forward to making my return this weekend. I would love to make the trip regardless of the soreness and pain that I'm in. However, my gut tells me to stay home with my family this weekend. I look forward to making my return at the next NWA event. Thank you to everyone for your continued support." So, man, some of these wrestlers are just badasses. I mean, you got guys stopping fucking robberies. You got, you know, fucking this guy here trying to, I mean, Jesus, that shot in the hip. That is what it said, right? Shot in the hip. That's not a good place to get shot. No place is a good place to get shot, but man, luckily he is doing very well after this, though, and it looks like we're not going to, he's not going to miss too much. He should be back by the next NWA event, which is great, and man, great right there for Black G's. I mean, just great the fact that he's okay and just took one, you know, just got shot, you know, somewhere where it's not any, you know, not life-threatening, but looks like he's already back rolling and kind of getting things done, which is great. So, you know, hey, speedy recovery to Black G's over there. But, yeah, attempted carjacking, ended up getting shot. So, fucking unbelievable, man. Norab is saying that Theory, Austin Theory and Carmelo Hayes both got hurt tonight. Let me see what he's pulling up here. Give me one sec. Sorry, folks. Let me make sure this is... I need to make sure there's some stuff. I don't want to pull up any ads that are... All right, it's muted already. Let me do something here. Let's play this real quick. All right, here we go. Let's put this on real fast. It's only 8 seconds. Let's look at this.
Take a look at this.
Ooh, yeah. They both took that one to the neck. Oh, no. Theory's head hit Carmelo in the face. You know what? If I mute the whole site. Theory's head. Oh, can we slow that down? Theory's head hits Carmelo Hayes right in the face. He bounces off of his face. Look, you can kind of see it right there. Literally, he bounces off of his face right there. Wow. Man, hope those guys are okay. Looks like Theory might not be bad at all, but... Excuse me, guys. Theory might not be bad, but holy hell, that did not look good for Carmelo Hayes. Definitely hope he's okay. Man, that was rough. Is this the same? Just the same link you put up here twice? Or is that a different angle? Yeah, same link. Wow, folks, that was rough looking. That did not look very, very good at all. But, all right, folks, like I said, I don't have much. I'm not done just yet. We will get into a little bit of Dynamite. Now, honestly, folks, I only have like one picture for Dynamite because there's only one picture that needs to be shown for Dynamite. It was not a bad show. Now, I know it was sort of a Brody tribute. It was just a little while ago. It was just a year that we lost Brody just a little while ago. And this was sort of a tribute show. Whoever, Preston Vance was out there with the tribute on. Anna Jay was out there with it on. For some reason, it was also mustache night. Roderick Strong showed up with a mustache. The Young Bucks will show them in a little while with a mustache. Everyone decided to have a mustache last night. I don't know what the hell is going on. But anyway, let me get another sip here. Folks, if you have kids yelling at home, you probably think my kids are your kids. Just go slap your kids anyway. Just go ahead. Yeah, Norab. I did notice that they played Jericho's music throughout his whole brawl. I don't think they wanted any chance of Kylie Rae or NDA or anything like that. So they just left his music blaring throughout the whole thing, which... they can't do that forever. So I guess we'll have to see what's going on. And his cruise, yep, cruise is coming back end of January. I guess we'll see what happens with that. I don't think it's going to affect this cruise. I think he's going to still have a very successful cruise. But a few of these matches tonight were created by Negative One, Brody Jr. So, not really going to do my usual rundown like we usually do, but we kicked off pretty much right away with Adam Page against Claudio, which was a great fucking match. I really did like that match. That was really a hot match. Wasn't the last time we were going to see Adam Page. Now, this is one of the matches booked by Negative One, Little Brody, if you will. It was Preston Vance, Adam Copeland, Dustin Rhodes, and Orange Cassidy. They defeated Brian Cage, Lance Archer, and the Gates of Agony, which was a really good match, kind of a clusterfuck, but again, this was thrown together by... Negative One. It was something he wanted for this show. So it was their homecoming, by the way. They were in Daly's place, which always a good... I think it's always a great place for them to come back to I like the way the arena looks when they do these shows. I thought it looked really good last night. I liked how they had the very short walk up to the ring from the side. It looked really good, I thought. I thought it looked really good. So, anyway, that was that. But after that, we had Samoa Joe come out. And next thing you know, he's talking, doing his usual shtick, I guess. But out there in his suit, looking like a fucking, just a Samoan killer. And next thing you know, we get, I think Swerve was the first one out to challenge Joe. Adam Page came out to challenge Joe. And then, as we spoke about a little while ago, when we were talking about Tony Khan's insanity, Hook came out to challenge Samoa Joe. Now, yeah, this match is happening next week. And yeah, it's getting a lot of shit. Personally, Hook has no chance of winning, so who gives a fuck? I really don't care. I'm sorry, folks. I'm done being pissed about shit like this. I'm done. I'm in a much better mood right now. I've got a brand new house. I'm doing well. I got a new position in my job where I'm not forced to go into the office every day. Things are changing, and I'm not letting shit like this start to piss me off anymore. This does not upset me. Hook has no chance of winning. I would be blown away if Hook ended up winning this match. Hey, look, anything's fucking possible. I just don't see it happening. So why am I going to get upset over something that's just going to be a match that is, it's just a match. Tony Khan needs to really have this fucking mentality. He needs to fucking learn to deal with it. But I like what they're doing here. It looks like already, no time wasted, Joe already has targets on his back. Not one, not two, but three targets going after him at once. A little reminiscent of what we just saw with MJF. But with MJF, it was over time. And it was kind of one person doing all that to him. So it was different. I like the way this is going to work. This is something Samoa Joe is going to thrive at. Joe goes out there and kills it on the mic anyway, so this is great. Then we had Sammy Guevara defeating Ricky Starks. So my wife, who really doesn't watch wrestling, was watching this match and asks me why it looks like they are slow dancing together. So this looks like Paula Abdul set this match up and they're slow dancing it. And I didn't catch it. But, you know, it's funny when a non-wrestling fan says something, you kind of take notice and I'm like, really? And she was right. The match really did not go well. They looked like they did not have great chemistry together. Could have had an off night, folks. I'm not going to say it, you know. Sammy Guevara is probably having some very late nights lately. So he may be a little rough, but it did not look like they were clicking very well to me. Again, could have been an off night. So I'm not going to sit here and shit on this match at all. This was another match, though, that was brought up and booked by Negative One. Anna Jay, Chris Statlander, Willow Nightingale, and Thunder Rosa, who came back. She just looks great. She looks great. They defeated Sky Blue, Saraya, Julia Hart, and Ruby Soho. So that was a pretty good match. I think I have to let my dog out because no one seems to care. All right, let me give it one more bark. Jesus Christ. Hold on a minute, folks. 1 minute. I'm sorry. Okay. Now on, the store is getting locked, so no one comes in here anymore. That's what's going to happen. Anyway, there we go, folks. We had that match. I enjoyed this match. I like the women's matches. I always do. I just think it's funny how they got Harley Cameron coming out there now with Ruby and Saraya, and we'll see what happens with all that. But we had Roderick Strong and his strong stash come out and defeated Brian Keith. And this was the main event, which I thought was a pretty damn good match. The Sting and Darby Allin defeating Takeshita and Powerhouse. I thought this was a damn good match, Powerhouse Hobbs. So the match itself, I enjoyed. Ric Flair, we already saw him get involved with the horrible chops, but the thumb to the eye. It's all for, do not forget about the thumb to the eye. So the match ends, and we're all sitting there like, all right, all right. Tony Schiavone walks in the ring, and he flat out asks, look, dude, who? Sting, talk to us. Who is your final opponent? We're thinking a one-on-one match, maybe. A lot of us were probably thinking Darby. That's going to be Darby. He's got to pick Darby, right? It's going to be Darby. Why wouldn't he pick Darby? Well, you know, I've thought about that. Why wouldn't he pick Darby? And, you know, he might want to, but I put myself in Darby's shoe. Oh, looks like I lost a little bit of internet there, folks. Sorry for the live people there. Hopefully we get that back. I kind of put myself in Darby's shoes here. Darby might not want to be the one to be in the Shawn Michaels takes out Ric Flair. Look, I'm not calling Darby Shawn Michaels. Please don't get me wrong. I'm just saying in that role, that I'm sorry, I love you role, he might not want to be the guy to do that. I understand where he's coming from, if that's where he's, if that's what he's thinking. He might not want that on, not want to do that, might not want to be that guy, which is fine. He might rather do it this way. And it looks like, so before Sting could even make the announcement, we got this, folks. We got the Young Cucks. I'm sorry. The Young Fucks. I'm sorry. The Young Bucks. When do we just start calling these guys the Bucks? Never? I don't know. Both out. One in all black, one in all white, both with new mustaches, folks. That's right. They both have little pencil thin mustaches, because that immediately ages you by what? 2 years? I don't know. But they both came out and they had, didn't say a fucking word. Not a fucking word. Mm-mm. And they both came out. And they're sitting there, they're staring, they're getting stared back at, they're staring back, they're getting stared back at. The staring continues, and we go off the air. So, it's not official, but our assumption, my assumption, your assumption, I'm assuming your assumption is, I know what happens when you assume, but I'm assuming your assumption. I think I just talked myself dizzy. Darby and Sting versus the Young Bucks. Last match. Okay. All right. Okay. I'm not psyched about it, but hey, who am I? And according to Meltzer, Sting chose this match. This was Sting. Here you go right here. On Wrestling Observer right here. Dave Meltzer explained how the Young Bucks were chosen for Sting's final match. And here we go, folks. The Young Bucks made their return this week for Wednesday's angle. Meltzer notes that the Young Bucks were originally supposed to have more time off, but Sting asked them to be his retirement match opponents. Part of the reason for that choice is because Sting loved working with the Young Bucks in the trios match they had at Forbidden Door in 2022. So There you go. That's really all it explains right there. But I think it is. Yeah, that's it. So that's going to be awesome. It's going to be obviously in Greensboro Coliseum in Greensboro, North Carolina. It is going to be good. Listen, Sting enjoyed working with him. That's how Sting wants to end his career. Listen, he's not going to do it against Ric Flair. I think we all know that by now, folks. It's not happening. He's not going to do it against Ric Flair. So who else do you have? Who else do you have that you can bring in that can go, that can do this? Personally, I'd bring in Steamboat. Call me crazy. I am crazy. Whatever. I'd bring in Steamboat. But anyway, anywho. But another part of that is, of course, Jim Ross is hoping to be the guy to call that last match. He is very hopeful that he will be. The guy, good old JR, been familiar voice in the world of pro wrestling and has lent his voice to several iconic matches over the years. He wants to be a part of the history when Sting graces the squared circle one final time. So during the main event of AEW Dynamite Homecoming, Jim Ross made his return to commentary booth. I forgot to mention that. And joined the regular team of Tony Schiavone and Excalibur. They called the match, which featured the team of, we already talked about the match, Darby Allin and Sting taking on Takeshita and Hobbs. And when he went on his podcast and said he definitely revealed that he mentioned to AEW President Tony Khan and agreed that it made sense for that to happen. And here's what it said. He said, me too, I'm hoping to be on the call with Tony Schiavone for Sting's final match. I mentioned that to Tony Khan last night. He agreed. It's only right. It makes sense. I said, you know, God dang, Mother Nature's going to tag in somewhere along the way with two old-timers like Schiavone and I. We're both feeling good. I'm feeling better today than I felt in a long time. I've still got the wound on my ankle. I'm seeing my doctor on Friday to go over an MRI. Just to double-check, I haven't had any bone disease on my tibia. So I have a doctor's appointment on Friday morning to go over all that deal. And so I just had a great night. It was one of those really feel good nights. And you know what? I see no reason Sting can't go out there or JR can't call that match. I think it's definitely the right way to go, the right thing to do. Why wouldn't you want Jim Ross calling that match? He is an iconic voice of wrestling, an iconic voice, especially with Tony. Schiavone is the iconic voice for Sting. But to have him and JR one last time calling one last match like that would be pretty fucking special. And I think it's probably something Sting is asking for, too. I wouldn't doubt that one bit. But, folks, I am going to get back to packing. I appreciate everybody coming on in, showing on up tonight. I appreciate everyone that's going to listen to this on the download. I appreciate everyone listening however you do, whenever you do, if you do. I appreciate it. And that's about it for me, folks. Once again, I am Boxman. This is Wrestling Outlet. I will be back here probably next week. If not, I will let you know as early as possible. Trying to get moved as quick as possible. Obviously, my kids need to get back to school. So I will do everything I can to keep this show going, but I may need to take a couple of a week at the most off, maybe two at the most. But listen, folks, I appreciate it. And that's about it for me, folks. Nice, quick, easy show. And I will catch up with everybody next week, hopefully. If not, week after that. And that's it, folks. On that note, see ya.